This is Kelly.
And this is Amy.
And you're listening to Diary of a Death Investigator. This is episode 40, and we're calling it, You Won't Find This at Coachella. And I told Amy to give us something that was desert related this week because I just got back from Coachella. I've been there. I've been living in the desert for the last off and on couple of weeks. Maybe I'll post some of my Coachella content on our Instagram page. But I've been working out there. So I'm a little too old, I think, to go to Coachella.
To be clear, Amy was not at Coachella. So
Amy did get invited to go to Coachella, but she had to work. But I would have put her to work because it is 95 degrees out there right now. And it is so hot. And honestly, I was surprised that I didn't see a lot of people. Well, okay, let me back up. I only went to the festival one day. I went yesterday for like 3 or 4 hours. Like I said, I've been working out there. So my company was doing an activation at the festival and we were activating, my team was activating around the festival. So, but I was so surprised to not see people like dead on the ground because it was so hot. And I'm like, I'm sweating just walking into it, and they're wearing like cowboy boots, and some people were wearing like layers on layers. I mean, a lot of people were wearing no layers.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I saw more of no layers in pictures.
I saw lots of booties. At one point, my friend was with me, and he was just like, you know, I just like don't really get this. Like, he's like, when did it become socially acceptable to wear a thong out in public? And that was at a pool. So like, it was just, are we getting too old for this? I don't know. And again,
partially.
Yeah, because we were sitting on the grass. We're like, okay, yeah, we're done. Got to see No Doubt. And then we were like, yeah, this is enough. Because then you had to walk like a mile back. So anyway, with all that being said, Amy's going to give us a desert story because I thought that would be appropriate for the last weekend of Coachella. But we do want to talk about something. And well, Amy finds it to be more funny than me, but we're only going to talk about this one time. It will happen again. But this last week, we received a bad review on Apple Podcasts. And we 100% understand that not everybody is going to love us. In fact, sometimes I don't love like the episodes, right? Like we're learning, we're going through this process. We had no podcast background when we started. We had no tech background when we started. I'm in sales and Amy is teaching and has this forensics background. So
yeah, I mean, sometimes I know, especially like when I'm teaching too, sometimes I have lessons. I'm like, dang, I really knocked that one out of the park. And the kids are like, that was really stupid. And I'm like, oh, that like really hurt my heart because I put hours into that. So you just got to learn, you know, sometimes kids can really roast you and they're your like harshest critics. So, you know, you just learn.
So these bad reviews aren't going to kill us, but I did think it was funny because the bad review is actually about Amy. And I thought that our first bad review would be about me because I know nothing. And sometimes I don't sound very intelligent on these things. So,
hey, you're actually doing pretty good. You're learning a lot. So you ask good questions.
Yeah. I feel like I'm learning a lot. I did get down there and tell everybody that I have a podcast because, you know, everybody's into true crime. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got a true crime podcast for you. Listen to this.
It is. It's a really like popular thing right now. So
I'm going to read the review. And like I said, I'm not going to give it power after this episode just because it's okay. We're okay with people giving us bad reviews. What I didn't like was that it questions Amy's journey. And it's not just Amy's journey. It's everybody's journey who has been in this position. It's like, I don't want to take that away from them. And so the review said, awful. It's anthropologist, not archaeologist. And it's rigor, not rigor. Unlistenable. I'm not even sure she was actually a working professional. However, this individual gave us 2 stars, not
which
one.
Which is the most confusing thing.
Okay, I mean.
To me, I don't know.
Like, I don't know if she was trying to be nice after that, but like you were compelled to write a review. If you're going to give us a bad review, like go all in, girl. You give us that one star review and say, I wish I could have given you zero. But
I mean, commit.
Yeah, so. You got to commit. But I just like, I don't know if you want to address the difference like between archaeologists and anthropologists because.
Well, I'll start with Riger. I'm not sure, honestly. Why I picked that up, it could have been in school from one of my professors. And I kind of see it as a tomato-tomato thing because clearly she knew what I was saying by saying Riger. And honestly, all the professors that taught me were ex-FBI agents. And one of them being the director of the Institute, who was the head of Quantico. So I'm pretty sure he wouldn't give me a glowing review across the board as well as giving me a job. So I think he's okay with me saying that as well as everyone else I worked with. So there's that. But also the difference between an anthropologist and archaeologist, literally anthropologists, they're studying archaeology and basically anthropologists are the ones that are trying to figure out what happened to this person, how long ago it happened by studying the bones. Archaeologists are just strictly there to dig up bones on scenes, but literally our anthropologist was there at scenes digging up bones as well. So anthropologists study archaeology and are part of the process of archaeology. So I'm not really sure why she was so triggered, but.
So one and the same, but it's okay. Again, like we just didn't want to take away that from not just Amy, but any of you out there who are listening who may have been a death investigator or in this field. Originally when we started this, and I'm assuming the person only listened to the first episode because that's what I've, you know, using my sleuthy skills have figured out. You know, when we started this, we said that we wanted to create an environment and to bring awareness to that field and mental health. Like that was one of the reasons that we started talking about this because Amy didn't receive any type of counseling or any type of therapy during the time that she was a death investigator. And we do follow some people on Instagram. And I think we've talked about it, the Death Calls podcast, where she was a death investigator as well. And, you know, she was talking about her mental health and, you know, I just think it's really important to bring awareness because I think we forget or not even forget. Like, I just didn't even know that these people existed until Amy became one. So, you know, I want somebody like Amy, if anything ever happens to me, to investigate my death. Like, I want to make sure that it's somebody good who knows what they're doing. So anyway, that's why we want to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it anymore, but if you guys can write, if you like it and you want to write good reviews for us to offset any bad reviews, because I just don't want people to like question now, like, oh, maybe this isn't like real or maybe because we're telling you stories.
I get it. You can't win them all, but it's a hard topic to listen to. I totally get that. So that's not going to be for everyone too. And I get that I don't always give all the details and literally because I can't. Maybe that's why it doesn't appear to be real, but I can't give like the details about like their names or where I'm currently located because these things aren't old enough because of like statute of limitations. So some of these things can still go to trial. So,
and we're just, yeah, protecting people, but we still want to give you kind of an idea of like what happens on scene because it's real versus like some of these stories that people are telling you, you know, I think everybody is fascinated by true crime. I like to watch true crime, but I do not like to rehear stories about, like if someone's telling me a life story about killing something or whatever, I can't listen to it. I don't watch any like Disney movies that will make me cry. I won't watch those. I don't watch anything. Like I can't watch it because it just, I don't want to be emotionally.
Yeah, trust me. I could go far into detail about what I've seen on scenes about baby cases or whatever, but no one wants to hear those. Trust me, you don't want to hear that because those are the hardest things to relive. So,
well, and that's why we try to pick, I don't want to say entertaining stories because again, every story is sad.
Intriguing.
Yeah. But there are some that are maybe more intriguing than others. And Amy has promised that this this case that she's going to talk about was a doozy.
Yeah, yeah. So on that note, let's just go ahead and get on into this one here. So this is in the far BFE of the state. I would say, I think it took me like 4 hours one way just to drive to this area. And it always cracks me up when, so this is not my area or normal area that I work.
Okay, wait, 4 hours with traffic or 4 hours no traffic?
No traffic. There's literally nothing out there. Solitary, nothing. And it always cracks me up when these guys, these deputies or troopers would be like, okay, well, here's the address. I'm like, just drop a pin or something. Don't give me like, for example, it'd be East West 20th North and 0.3 East Street out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm just like, I don't know where that is. Like, I don't live here. I have no idea. And I guarantee when I put this into a satellite, it, I already know it's in the middle of nowhere. And this satellite is not, it's going to put me on the complete opposite side of the state because it's done that before. And it's added 2 hours to my drive. So I tell them, like, just drop a pin. They're like, well, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, well, you just need to be patient. Yeah.
So. I don't know how to do it either. I think I have to Google it every time someone goes, hey, can you just drop a pin? I just actually went through that over the weekend, like at the resort that I was at. They're like, can you just drop a pin where you're at? I'm like, no, I mean, I don't know how to do that. Just ask somebody where the pool is.
Well, the thing is, though, because like when you get out here, you have really bad reception.
Right.
So I have two different cell phones, but like my work cell phone is like terrible. And so my personal cell phone is the one that I mainly use because I get better service with it. Go figure, because I'm paying for it myself. And it has a different area code. And so people don't answer that. And then they get mad and they hang up on me because I keep trying to call them. And so then I text them and I'm like, this is the medical examiner. And then they don't ever believe me. So I have to send them a picture of my badge and it comes across like I'm being a smart aleck. And I'm like, I'm just trying to be helpful. So yeah, it got me in trouble one time because I did that, because I turned into a smart aleck. And anyways, so yeah, anyways, that's like where this place is at. And it's like windy roads. There's like actually like canyons out here, but like you can't see them. If you look across like the plains, it looks flat. But when you come up to like an edge and you look down, it's like a 20-foot drop. So like you literally wouldn't be able to tell that these are canyons that like you're driving in. So yeah, I'm like driving out there. And I just finally tell him, I was like, would you just come out to this main road? Because I literally like get to the point where I like see these stupid signs. I'm like, I've driven back and forth past this like 10 times. And my GPS is like telling me like reroute. And it's all dirt roads from here. So like I'm used to being in places where it's like turn right at the McDonald's. And then when you see this house with the blue shutters, you know, turn left or something. So I do better with those kinds of instructions. So not like the barbed wire fence has a raccoon skin on it. So, so he comes out to the road to meet me. And then I'm following him down like this dirt road path. And then he's like, it's going to be really bumpy. I'm going to have you just kind of drive out to where you see those other trucks at. And I'm like, okay. So he's like, just be really careful. You don't run over like a cactus or something. I'm like, great. So, because that's what I want to do, have a flat tire out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, that'd be rough.
And then I don't call my transport there because I just assume that the stage that this body is in, that I can transport it myself by the description that they tell me. So I get up to this spot and we're all looking down into this little, it's like a gully, and it's this open kind of canyon. And I'm looking down and there's this F-150 that's flipped over like on its top. And I'm like, this is interesting. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And how did this truck end up out here? And of course, all the windows are rolled down and all the belongings from the inside of the truck have been like thrown out of the car, like from it overturning. And then it looks like the decedent was like thrown kind of out of the car, or it looked like he maybe tried to like crawl out of the car and like didn't quite make it. But it had been so long that he mummified. Oh. And yeah, I was like, dang. So how did someone end up finding him? And they said, well, this is ranch land out here and there's cattle. And this guy had a dog and it was like some type of cattle dog, like a border collie or something. And it had stayed alive this whole time and was out running around this property, but staying close enough to the guy. And this guy was like out there on his horse, like herding cattle in, and he saw this dog, and the dog kind of led him over to the truck.
Oh, it was the guy's dog from the truck.
Yes.
Oh, was he eating him?
No. I was kind of amazed because I was like, well, how long ago did this happen? He said the guy was reported missing a month ago.
Whoa.
Yeah. So talk about a good dog. The dog stayed out there with the guy in his truck for a month.
Yeah, that's and a good dog.
And I was like, so what has this dog been doing out here the whole time? They're like, well, there's small animals and there's water for the cattle out here that this dog's been eating on. And I was like, that's impressive because it was still pretty hot like during this time of year. So yeah, this dog's been sticking to like where this guy in his truck is. And so, yeah, the ranchers had like followed the dog over and saw the truck, and they're the ones that reported it. And so, yeah, of course, this guy had been reported missing, and the local officials were familiar with this guy. And of course, they knew that he had been reported missing and they recognized his truck. And this guy is older. Born in 52, and this was in 20, this happened.
Oh, yeah, maybe 60s. He was in his, like, 60s.
Yeah, but he had had, like, early onset dementia, but he was also an alcoholic. And so this guy had had prior arrests due to DUIs. And so he wasn't even supposed to have his license. His license was revoked. And he had still been drinking, still been going to the bars and drinking and stuff, and was still buying alcohol. I don't know how without his license. Of course,
he's old because people don't check that stuff. They're like, oh, you're old. We know you.
Right. Well, yeah, I was going to say, being in smaller towns, they're still going to like give him alcohol.
He's probably a regular somewhere too. And they're just like, oh, hey, so-and-so. Nice to see. Or I've seen it when I go to liquor stores for work. I've seen it where people like, it's the same people coming in every day. They're grabbing the same thing. Before the person even gets to the register, the person is already like, you know, behind the counter giving them, getting what they need. Yeah,
exactly. So that's basically how this guy was known. Other than that, I don't think there was like any trouble with him other than him just having alcohol involved. But like they knew that he was kind of forgetting things. And so they had someone living with him on his property, and they knew that the last time that he was seen, he was intoxicated in town, but they're like, oh, you know, he doesn't live very far from here. He'll be fine. which I'm like, gosh, that's so common. Like here in these small towns, it's crazy. It's amazing.
Probably more people, they don't have Uber.
Yeah, that too. It's just amazing more people don't die. And probably a good thing there's not a bigger population there. So yeah, he goes missing, right? And so he's called in missing by his daughters. He has a couple daughters. And they know that he lives with this roommate, another guy. I think he lives on some ranch land with them. So the decedent, he also has cattle.
Hence the dog.
Yeah. So I don't know how active he is, like working his own ranch, because I don't know how good a condition like he was in. So they said 8 or 9 days prior to him like actually going missing, that his roommate and the I don't know if it's like the decedent had gone into an argument, and they said there was like another guy that showed up that was friends with their roommate. And when they were in this altercation, they had tried like choking him. And I think this was over the cattle. And I think that they were trying to either steal from him or like sell off the cattle, like thinking he wouldn't notice because of the dementia. But, you know, when the daughters tried to confront him, the guy living in with him was like, hey, like, you guys aren't taking care of him. I've been here taking care of him. And basically, you guys are dumping him off on me. And, like, finally, the roommate said, well, if you don't want me taking care of him, I can't do this anymore because his drinking is out of hand. And so you guys need to come get him then, because he's basically, like, out of control. And the... I get like a call, I don't know, it's like maybe a month later, and or maybe it's not quite a month later.
Like after you found him?
Yeah, it's like a couple weeks later that it was like the troopers that were there. They said they had a meeting with like the DA, and they were wanting to meet because they were treating this like as a potential homicide because like the roommate, and they said that apparently this is like the cousin that is like basically trying to like frame this. And so the cousin is the guy that's like living with him.
So the cousin who is living with him, they're thinking that he might have killed him.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, so let's back up then to the scene, right? So at the scene, we're looking at, you know, this guy, and he's mummified, which I've said before, you know, how hard it is to really look at trauma from someone who is not, like, in a, like, fresh state. And at this point, the majority of his organs have already been picked out of his body or eaten out of his body. The only thing that was missing off of him was basically, it was one of his arms. It was like from his elbow down. I think it was like his right arm. And that was from like animal activity, like scavengers, because you're out in the desert. And so we had walked around. I mean, gosh, I forget how long we walked around that area. Of course, it could have been like coyotes or something, which that's small enough, they can pick up and carry it back to their den. And even for something like a vulture or something like that, that's small enough that they can pick it up and fly off with it. So that's something that like we never ended up finding. I mean, we looked for a really long time, but that's just realistically, you'll never find that.
Why? Why do you look so long for something? Because you want someone to be complete?
Yeah, and mostly like for like the family too. And if it's like a homicide case, you want to be able to find like a whole body. But mostly it's for like the family too. So like they can get the whole, like the body whole, like back to them. It's like a respect thing. And so when we were looking at like the vehicle, there wasn't anything on the vehicle that showed something where there wasn't any other damage to the vehicle. So looking at it, there's nothing on the vehicle that shows any other damage. So it wasn't like the vehicle was pushed by another vehicle, you know, like from behind or from the front or like smashed into, that would have like pushed him into like this canyon. And 20 feet isn't a very big drop, and that's like an approximation. Secondly, you know, we looked at like the gear shifts on the inside. You know, he's in drive. There's nothing stuck like in between like the pedal and like where his foot would have been. So it's not like something was like jammed there where he couldn't like press down on the brake. We looked at like the tire track marks coming off of where the like cliff part would have been like down into like the canyon. And there weren't any like acceleration marks or anything that looked like brake marks. And it's not like it looked like he attempted to either brake or accelerate. It just kind of looked like he just continued to roll down into the cliff. So there was enough acceleration for him to kind of just tip the truck forward and then tip over.
Well, because because if you're going off a cliff or if you're hitting something hard enough and it was fast, it would like have flipped, right? It would have really damaged the car.
Yeah, he would have actually gotten a little further into the canyon as well, because there was enough height for him to actually travel a little bit further in the air. Like, it just looked like he literally just rolled off of the top and then just almost tumbled over once, like front over top, and then just kind of rested. And eventually you could tell like the truck battery had died. You could tell that he had been driving at night. The light switch was, it was like a manual light switch. And that was actually in the on position. So like that tracks with him actually driving at night. All around the truck, there was like empty beer cans, empty liquor bottles. I mean, they were like thrown everywhere. And they were also inside of the truck as well. So not only was he like drinking while he was out, he was also drinking while he was driving. So, you know, I'm just sitting here looking at all of these things. I'm like, nothing here appears like it would be out of place or out of the ordinary. And then what you can look at when looking at him, you know, you don't see anything as far as you're checking the head for anything that looks like any exposed trauma, because you can still look at the skin if it's intact. Or I had that case that was mummification where the guy had the incision wounds to the stomach. There was nothing to that effect and nothing that looked like there was, you know, anything as far as blood to the clothing. So I didn't see anything that looked like any immediate trauma other than, you know, he had been like thrown out of his seatbelt, and it didn't seem apparent to me that he was wearing his seatbelt. Like, it wasn't like locked into place. So to me, this is all like a recipe of like, he looked like he was out driving and maybe got lost at night. You know, he has dementia and he was drunk and went off the roadway and looked like he just went over and tumbled
down a canyon,
over into the canyon. And so, you know, with like the family, and we would get this kind of stuff all the time where we'd get calls from family, and this was like after the fact, especially if there wasn't like an investigation at the time. And people would always make claims like, I think my mom was poisoned, or I think my mom was killed. And we would have to tell them like, you guys need to contact your local law enforcement, because we weren't considered a law enforcement agency. And so we would have to like tell them, you know, we considered this, or when we'd waive jurisdiction, we would tell them this was reported to us as a natural death. And so we would tell them they would have to contact law enforcement. And then law enforcement would have to decide if this was enough evidence in order to press charges or to investigate further, and then bring it to us, which in most cases they didn't. I maybe had two or three instances like that. And I mean, this is obviously a case that wasn't a natural cause. So that's why this was our case, because this was like an accident. But I could see where they would maybe, if this wasn't like if he died in bed, I could see where maybe this would come back as something that needed to be looked at, because there was like claims that he had been assaulted 8 or 9 days prior by the roommate, which a lot of times, you know, if there's anything of monetary value involved and you have family stating, oh, like sounds like maybe the daughters might have been getting cut out of the will or something. And maybe the roommate, who was actually a family member, might have been getting receiving more than maybe what the daughters were. Because actually, when I had pulled up to the scene that day, the daughters were out there like waiting to see what we found. So, you know, sometimes you have overly involved family members, and it's not always such a good thing when you see them on scene and then they're making claims like this, because sometimes you wonder what their involvement is in things like this. And sometimes that's because of like a guilty conscience, you know?
Well, and if the roommate, I mean, he may not have been assaulted, because it could have been that that's just what he said, that he was assaulted. And maybe that's why the guy had brought his friend over to be like, hey, just in case this gets out of hand, because maybe the guy thought he, you know, the one with dementia, the decedent, thought that this guy was stealing from him and he was getting aggressive with him.
Right. Well, dementia patients often do actually start showing signs of
aggression.
Yeah, which you know, is common, especially if he's drinking too. So it turns out that they ended up dropping the charges because they didn't have enough evidence of anything actually happening. And then we looked at the autopsy and there wasn't anything that was... There just wasn't anything there. You couldn't pull anything from the autopsy. I think there was a little bit of the liver left that we could even do for toxicology.
That's kind of funny. The last man standing.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's like there wasn't even enough of the brain, you know, because everything dries out, especially in that weather. And it's like when you can't find anything, the best thing you can do is put unknown, but you certainly can't put homicide on there. There's not enough there. So you can't even prove this story that they're saying. And there's certainly not enough on this scene. So especially when you're looking at, I think the biggest thing was like the tire tracks. There's nothing there that shows any other vehicles out there. Cause that would have taken a lot of work to like cover up tire tracks or anything like that.
Well, and they didn't take the dog. That's the thing. And the dog, for me, it means that it wasn't a high impact situation if the dog survived and the dog wasn't hurt, you know, because he,
right,
to be able to survive for multiple days with out food or water. Well, yeah, but I'm saying if he had been hurt and he couldn't get up, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out it's a month. So, I mean, my guess is the same as yours, like that it just kind of rolled and the dog, because the dog would have tumbled too. And so for some reason, the animals are so resilient. I'm a lot more resilient than people, but because, you know, he wasn't buckled in.
Right. Well, to me, I think, you know, the guy just, he probably was injured during the crash. He probably hit his head or something. And we just couldn't see any type of head trauma because there wasn't really a brain to look at. It could have been some type of brain injury and it could have made him pass out. So we don't know. But yeah, he couldn't get out of his vehicle. So
he just died like of starvation or dehydration or?
I don't know.
That would not be the way to go.
No, but that's a good dog.
That's a good dog. So. That's a good dog.
Yeah, so there's many lessons here. Don't drink and drive. Especially don't go out to the desert and do that. There's lots of weird things. We were saying there's lots of weird things in the desert that probably happen. So
I was telling Amy, I was just really surprised. Like I didn't see, like I said, people like passed out. I did. Well, that's not true. I did at the end of the night see people like sleeping on the grass. And I was thinking, I mean, I just don't think that's me. That's not for me. And at the night, the desert gets cold.
Yes, it does. Well, I mean, ultimately, this guy could have, I mean, if he was really that drunk, he probably was super dehydrated. So,
right.
I don't know. Kelly, we're not 20 anymore, so.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't want to relive those days either, so.
Well, thanks. That was a good.
It's not Coachella, but it's a good story, so.
I'm good on Coachella for a while. Until next year. Yeah, until next year when I have to do it all over again. But if you guys have any questions, you can email us at kelly@diaryofadeathinvestigator.com. You can message us on our Instagram page. Feel free to leave us reviews, positive or negative. We promise we won't share any more negative reviews on here. It's just, we would like the positive to outweigh the negative. And if you do have any feedback, again, we're happy to discuss. So had she emailed us or ask us questions, like we would be happy to discuss the questions.
I will say Riger until the day I die. And then you can check my Riger for my death.
No thanks.
You're welcome.
And until next time.
Bye.